You're listening to Radio Influence.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Dark Delight Podcast with...
Quarantined Val and...
Beans. You are quarantined, aren't you?
No. We're still in a general state of panic. That's all.
Oh, okay. All right. That's good.
Everything's fine.
Oh, goodness. I swear. It's crazy town out there. And, you know, I do feel in my gut, though, that there, first of all, as I say, I'm about to say this, I look over and I see that there was an earthquake in Salt Lake City, Utah. 5.7 magnitude.
Ooh. I better go see what Dutch Sings is up to these days.
Yeah, I mean, what in God's name is going on in this world right now? It is like fire and brimstone.
It really is.
Not really. I don't feel like that.
Actually, you know, it's funny. I went to my father's house last night and I dropped off some food. And my mother bought a bucket of storable food weeks ago. It still hasn't showed up because she was just late to listen to me.
Yep.
But I knew that hers is coming in. And in the meantime, she has more than enough. So I felt better just knowing that my father would have one bucket, too, of 4 weeks of something. So I went by last night to drop that off with my brother and we just hung out and talked a little bit. And, you know, toward the end of it, the things that we're coming up with and just talking about is, and everybody reaching out to each other and wishing each other well. And it makes you dream for you want to go back. And I just hope that whenever we have a chance to breathe easy again, and I know some people are breathing easy, but I'm talking about all of us.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing if some people can get some good, healthy perspective on things and coast through a hard time. It's another thing when you live among tens of millions of scared individuals. People are scared not just because how am I going to survive this virus if I get it and I have a tight chest for 5 weeks, or if I'm old and sick, you know, can this kill me? Aside from that, people are scared because they don't know how they're going to make ends meet. If they're a waitress that supports
fear.
That's it. It's making ends meet. So I just can't wait. I hope that we don't lose this perspective and we are grateful to be around each other again once it all goes away, because that could be a great, great gift.
It could be. Yeah. And I just before we continue, I just want to let everyone know, if you hear some weirdness today, everyone in the world is telecommuting. So there are some load balance issues going on with the internet. And Frank just had one.
Wow, you
got a little slow for a second there, but it's okay. It'll be fine.
I'm not drunk yet.
Yet is the key word.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. But no, you're right. I mean, there was so much good that can come out of this. Like I did a post the other day where I said, you know, everybody share their funniest jokes or memes underneath this. And I have like 4,000 things underneath my thread of funny stuff that I can go to and read through whenever I'm just feeling a little exasperated. I feel honestly in my gut today, especially for some reason, that something is going to happen to turn the tide.
I do too. I can't. I know that there are people who speak with very somber tones and have straight faces that tell you we're looking at 18 more weeks of quarantine or 18 months of this going on, or we're going to July and August. And I just,
you know,
something tells me that, or and I hope so. I could totally be wrong. What the hell do I know? But that at the end of April, we're all going to be like, oh, okay, this seems all right.
Yeah.
You know, this seems like we got this, or at least we're getting better perspective that it's not the black plague.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping, but I don't feel like the worst case scenarios are they're talking millions of deaths.
Yeah, no, that's not.
No, I don't think this is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. A couple different things on this real quick. Number one, I posted last night and I asked a question and I said, can you guys let me know if you know any of the stats on how many ICU beds are actually being used by coronavirus patients right now, COVID-19 patients by state? so we have some idea where we're at. Because we're getting all these reports of the ICUs being overrun in certain areas, and I don't believe it. There's conflicting information on that. I don't believe it. So I want to know, is there anywhere we can go to find out this information? Surprise, surprise, or not, there isn't. So we're just relying on what these morons are telling us. And I don't believe it. Then I also posted this. This is an ER nurse. And she, I don't know where she's an ER nurse, but I want you guys to listen to this very closely.
For the coronavirus.
Here we go.
Here's my 2 cents on the coronavirus. As most of you already know, I am an emergency room nurse. And what we're experiencing is people running into the emergency room with the common cold, wanting tested for the coronavirus. And what that's doing is bogging down the emergency room and taking our time away from critically ill patients. You do not need prescription medication for the coronavirus, the flu, or a cold. Coming to the emergency room only puts other people at risk for getting your illness. Unless you already have a weakened immune system due to some other condition, you do not need medical treatment. So do us all a favor, stay home, wash your damn hands, and don't lick door handles, and you'll be all right. Also, I think we already had the coronavirus here, but it just wasn't identified. Do y'all remember a couple months ago when everybody was sick with a cold that had a lingering cough that lasted like a month, including myself? Probably corona. And guess what? We all survived. I also think there's a democratic agenda behind all of this. Mark my words.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Yep. I was talking, my friend Frank and I were talking about it. He's, you know, and he worked through it all. I said, I can't even imagine how many people you got sick in New Jersey.
Yeah.
He worked throughout the, he was hacking and coughing for 5 weeks and still worked throughout the whole thing because he couldn't take a day off. You know, people do that all the time. But you know, this has been going on, especially now that we know. First, we got the lie from China that they had confirmed this virus at the end of December. Then we heard, no, actually, it was the beginning of December. Now we know that the first confirmed case in China was November 17th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And probably earlier, because that was the first confirmed case.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so now you're talking 2.5 to 3 months of completely unabated air travel between these countries.
Yeah.
And it's just trickling in now. Get out of here.
Yeah. Not only that, but I did talk about this last night because I've been working on a piece, Frank, for months and months. What am I talking about? For weeks? No. Days. Almost a week. A little more than a week. Here's what it is. Everybody's wanting to know what the hell happened to Italy. Why Italy? Right. And for like a really long time, they were posting, people were posting about this hug a Chinese thing that was going around in Italy. And I want to give a little hat tip to my friend Lindsay. He knows who he is. But the other day he texted me, he goes, you know, there's something weird going on here with this China thing and the Italy thing. Can, you know, look into this a little bit. And I'm like, I want to know why. So I started looking into it and I came across this tweet last night that summed it up. Many Italians in northern Italy sold their leather goods and textiles companies to China. Italy then allowed 100,000 Chinese from Wuhan and Wenzhou to move to Italy to work in these factories with direct flights. Result, northern Italy is Europe's hotspot for the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And I said, this is what I've been working on for a long time. It's 1,000% correct. It explains why Chinese propaganda videos, which they were shown to Italians as they were encouraged to, quote, hug a Chinese to eliminate the social stigma and responsibility from China for the virus. China almost literally occupies Italy. That's why they're sending all the aid over there. In February of 2019, the Italians entered into this new Silk Road agreement with China. And the country has for the past decade, this has been slowly happening. But just in a year, they've been overtaken by Chinese immigrants, many of whom had traveled back and forth between China and Italy. And there's a rampant illegal immigration problem going on there, unenforced completely. The Chinese are skirting tax revenue mandates. They're not following any of the laws. They're buying up port cities in Italy. They're taking over the textile industry completely. And they've taken countless Italian businesses and put them out of business. There are some neighborhoods and towns in Italy that are only Chinese now. They grabbed the ports, like I said. There was an outcry from the United States about this, but the Italians didn't. They just basically shrugged it off and said, meh. So This explains so many different things. It explains the government of China sending propaganda to Italy, forcing them to do this social campaign to hug a Chinese, to take the responsibility off their shoulders and make China out to be this great nation, right? They're sending tons of aid over there, China, test kits, respirators, all kinds of crap. Why? Because their business hub is in Italy. A huge portion of business the Chinese are doing is coming out of Italy right now. It wasn't only to be woke, Frank. It was to stem all this nonsense.
Well, here's where I have been musing lately. Obviously, this is a country, a government that can't. I mean, I don't trust really even our own government. But when you're talking about the Chi-Com government, I am. It's very easy to see why they're so parasitical. I mean, so many of their business practices are backhanded, where technology and information is transferred to them. They are encroaching on everybody's resources. If they can just go in by force and trick you with these low interest loans that you know they're not going to pay back, that's how they're conquering Africa right now. And then, of course, in other places, in first world countries, they're just making very overt investments into places like Hollywood or lower Manhattan or over there in Italy. So to see where their implantation of themselves has opened up channels for this kind of a disease, if it happens to be spread easily, and then of course explains why there's so much damage control, PR, and equipment and resources then spread around through wanting to manage everything and the guilt and, like you said, not being woke. The other side of this is the origin story. That still, you know, anybody that was talking about origins of this virus, because the second thing that nurse that you had put forward saying, talking about the conditions of the ERs, was the propaganda value of it over for Western liberals. Mm-hmm. You know, Western progressives in this country, in Europe, they have been looking for a way of stopping this rising tide of skepticism against that casts light on how progressivism, open borders policies, awful Keynesian economics is destroying the West. It's destroying the population. It's really just destroying the world. And there was nothing that was stopping it. Nothing was stopping it. The Yellow Vest movement had been, I mean, there's only so much they could ignore in the media, but it's still going on regardless. France, Italy was a hotspot for resistance. We already know about Hungary and Poland and Brexit, Donald Trump.
Yep.
There is a really amazing elections in Australia recently too, Hong Kong. The only way that they were actually able to do anything, look at this virus took care of the entire planet's uprisings. And of course, it's the only thing that could have tanked the world economy. But you know, when the stock market eventually bounces back up, all the same people are going to own every last piece of stock they had the time before. This is a coordinated crash, no matter what.
Well, not only that, but to be honest, I think that this is causing people to understand that we need to bring. You know, Donald Trump was stopping the port sales on the West Coast. He's been stepping in to stop the Chinese from taking over our ports of entry. He's been at war with China forever. And, you know, he tweeted the other day, we're at war with, what was it? We are at war with a silent enemy or a hidden enemy and we will win.
Yeah. I think that might have even double, triple meaning.
Yeah, quadruple.
Because I know he dropped that line at the press conference he did 2 days ago. And it was in response to everybody keeping on asking about the economy. And he started just very smartly diverting all of the attention to the virus, saying, I'm concentrating on the virus. Once we take care of that, the stock market is going to explode again.
Yeah.
Because everybody keeps asking him, like, you know, what are you going to do about the economy? As if he made a bad bet that is like that's ruining the whole country. They're still very quietly trying to distance the impact the virus is having on the economy and making it all about economic turmoil in the time, in the era of Trump. They're still trying to do it in very subtle ways, you know, while at the same time now you want to talk about domestic agendas. Everybody out there who for the first 4 to 6 weeks of this being a story after impeachment died with a whimper.
Mm-hmm.
They're all talking about Chinese corona, Wuhan virus, and now they're trying to distance everybody from the origin story, and they're just trying to talk about economic calamity as if it's the president's doing a bad bet, came back to bite him in the ass.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody believes that it's, except the people that were already going to believe it anyway.
Yeah.
That it's President Trump's fault. Like, I, there's nothing on God's green earth that would make most thinking people say that. I don't know. He just tweeted, by the way, we will be by mutual consent temporary closing our northern border with Canada to non-essential traffic. Trade will not be affected. Details to follow. Very good.
Yeah.
Let's have strong borders for once in the damn decade.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Well, listen, if this is serious enough for Justin Trudeau to say we are not going to be taking in any non-citizens in this time.
His wife has it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, but I don't know.
There's a ton of problems with the tests, too. I mean, I'm sorry. What was the basketball player that just tested positive yesterday? What was his name?
Kevin Durant.
Yeah. He said he feels fine. He's like, I'm not even sick. I don't understand.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, and then what's his name? The actor,
Tom Hanks.
No.
Oh, that other guy. Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he plays Charles Minor in The Office. I forget. Either way, he gets in front of the camera on Twitter yesterday to say, I've got the virus and whatever, and it sucks. And he looks like he had a flu. You know, just kind of a little, you know, peaked and just you can tell by his eyes, it's drained. And it's like this could be any, just based on his case, at least. I mean, he's dressed. He's on his feet. His wife is standing right next to him. They're in the kitchen somewhere. He's not bedridden. So I'm just like this could be anybody I know right now on Instagram talking about how they just caught a cold and they feel like trash. You would think that this is, you know, outbreak or something like that.
There was a guy that I've been following on YouTube. He was a Brit who went on the cruise to Japan, and he has been vlogging because he came down with coronavirus on the ship. And they took him to Japan and they took care of him. And anyway, long story short, he said that he had it really, really bad. He's 70 something. I don't remember how old he is exactly. Anyway, he just got home to the UK. He recovered. Him and his wife both had it. He had it much, much, much worse. And he just recovered. But he's been vlogging every single day with how he feels and what's going on and all that stuff. It's been really entertaining and not entertaining in like, let me grab my popcorn way, but just to see what it was like for someone who had a really bad case of this.
Well, I mean, outside of that, is there anything going on? Because there's a few things that I thought were really interesting that's going on.
Oh, yeah. We have plenty of stuff to talk about.
What do you think about Google?
Okay. You had Zach on, right?
No. I read a statement that he gave to me. I can read it right now.
Yeah, read what Zach said. Zach is the Google whistleblower. He used to work at YouTube.
Well, pretty much the backstory to this is that around it was late Wednesday night, 4chan, Twitter, depending on who you're following on Twitter and other places, were all reporting that something was going on with Google at the search.
Yeah, as if you Googled Democrats, you got the Democrat thing on a rat.
Yeah, the donkey had been turned to a rat. And then everybody started testing the Google search engine. They're like, wait, what the hell is this all about? That the Democrat Party popped up with a mascot of the rat instead of the donkey. And people started realizing that at least in some kind of a way, it may not be a full turnaround, but in some way, the Google algorithm for the search engines had been changed and it was indexing things we would never have seen anytime. I mean, me, even in the last 3 weeks, I'll tell you one thing. I don't know much, but what I can tell you is this, that a few weeks ago, if I were to go and search something like adrenochrome uses in Google search engine, it would not have bounced back with articles in the top three, in the top three search results coming from disclosed.tv, some blog called Exposing Pedivores. I mean, I'm telling you, whatever it was, something has loosened up. And I went and I asked Zach about this. I said, Zach, is there something going on? 4chan was going wild, because I can't even tell you some of the things that are starting to be indexed again. Some of the themes and some of the subjects
still?
People have. Oh, yeah. Some of the subjects that people, you know, have researched over the years that have been completely hidden away by these very pointed kind of algorithms. And it's all been, I mean, even 4chan threads have started to be indexed in Google searches on certain topics again.
That's weird.
Oh, yeah. But here's what I did. I went to Zach. I said, what do you think about this? You know, what's happening? I said, can you give me a concise statement that I could read the audience? He said, yeah, here you go. And he said this. Now, Trump announced a partnership with Google to use artificial intelligence to figure out whether someone should go get tested for coronavirus or not. But obviously, such a process isn't artificial intelligence if it's just a simple if-else chain, which he explained as being such as if you have any symptoms that you put into this questionnaire, it just pretty much tells you, go get tested.
Yeah, and then if this, then that, basically.
If this, then that. And he goes this. And he said this. And it then connects them to the closest testing center based on how far the drive is. So this simple, he said, this is so simple, this process that I just explained to you, Frank, that it should be the role of one engineer over one weekend. It's really that simple. Instead, we're talking about 1,700 engineers are on it. That doesn't make any sense, and it's a lot of money. So I believe that this is a way that Trump is buying out Google with a carrot and a stick approach. He has the stick due to the dirt that I've exposed and others have exposed, and now here's the carrot, which is a gigantic payout. Within 24 hours of this announcement, Google changed its search engine algorithms drastically. We saw a rat appear for the first time for the Democrat Party, as well as 9/11 truther stuff and Pizzagate stuff starting to surface. It looks like the White Hats have made a big win here and may now be in control of Google.
I'm not having any of the same results. I mean, I don't, that's not happening for me, what you're explaining.
Well, I can send you the screenshots I was taking.
Oh, no, I believe you. I just don't know why it's not happening for me.
Let me see here.
I mean, and how much money are we talking here for Google to do that? That would have to be a ton of money. Like,
well, you're talking about 1,700 people.
Yeah, but
I mean, there has to be a ton of money behind it.
Think about this in comparison. 1,700 people and whatever amount of money to literally upend everything that they've been working for to stop people from getting the truth for years. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Click that. This stuff would not have popped up 2 weeks ago for me.
All right, let me try it now.
Okay.
I'm getting that too.
I'll see some other stuff there too, but it may be marginal. I don't know, but something has loosened, and to what effect and how far it goes, does it revert back? I don't know, but for a little bit, everybody's heart skipped a beat. That was a big.
Yeah, I was watching online.
Did you see Oprah Winfrey trending all last night on Twitter?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. I mean, that's another one that's ridiculous. I saw that starting up two nights ago, and all of a sudden last night it went mainstream on Twitter about her running a sex ring. And
it's such bull, though. I mean, you know, come on.
At least what I saw was bull.
Yeah, it is bull. We've debunked it. Like Corey debunked it a couple days ago, and somebody actually went down there to the place where they were saying that her house was under whatever and blah, blah, blah.
And it wasn't her house.
No,
apparently it wasn't. Apparently it was. Yeah, they listed the owners and the
and it was construction.
Exactly. That's what I looked at. They said, look, Oprah's house has been raided. She was outed for running a child sex ring. I said, well, listen, if you're going to make that claim, then you're going to need better evidence than this. It looked like it had the construction fencing, the plastic construction fencing. It looked like somebody was putting in a new sidewalk.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said, this is a raid? Where's one police officer? What are you talking about? So that went around the internet like wildfire, and it turned into a joke on Twitter last night. That's why this stuff is, you know, it's so sensitive.
People need to really be careful how and what they share.
Yeah, indeed. Yes. So what else you got?
I got a couple other things. I got the tweet from President Trump about General Michael Flynn and them being pardoned because they lost the original 302.
Imagine that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was really good to see that coming from the president, because this case is absolutely gross. And the fact that the fact that Sidney Powell did that Hillsdale College speech we spoke about the other day, I think played into that a lot. And, you know, there's been, let me just see real quick. I'm just going to check. I don't know if there's been any updates. Hold on. Yeah, there haven't been any updates since the 6th. They're still looking into the claims of the attorneys being, you know, derelict, I guess, in their duty to General Flynn and how they helped him. But that ties in for me very strongly to this recent thing where the government has now dropped the charges against Concord.
Both Concords.
Yes. Yes. Now, if you remember, Rosenstein came out and said, we've filed an indictment against all these Russians for doing this horrible stuff with this troll farm and blah, 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 blah. Right. The problem that they thought. That they would be able to just indict those Russians and those and Concord and they would never come back and fight it. But Concord did. So they challenged it. They said, OK, let's do this. And this has been going on for a really long time. Actually, we talked about this, Frank, months and months ago, how the judge had to abscond the government and leaders from talking about this case in public because they were biasing any jury pool that may come out, and they were lying about things. So like Mueller actually lied about something in this case in his testimony before Congress. So it's been very interesting. So basically yesterday, the DOJ dismissed they dismissed these charges with prejudice, meaning they can never be brought again. They said that they have to dismiss the charges because if they were to bring forth the evidence that they had in the case, it would compromise national security. Like, they just figured that out yesterday.
Yeah. National security. Nothing, which is funny because nothing about this entire investigation compromises national security. I was looking at the breakdown that Technofog put out there about this unraveling of the last bits of Robert Mueller's legacy here, and to see once again the type of meme that was taken as exhibit A for how the Russians were, these 13 faceless Russians were affecting the political landscape here in the United States by pointing out the differences in the first 3 months of both Donald Trump and Barack Obama's presidency with regulations and money lost or money gained. That being exhibit A and the kind of meme warfare that this compromised national security.
Yeah. Isn't it? I mean, I know, it's unbelievable.
It's such a sad, sad farce.
Let's go through some of the stuff in his thread because he did a great job. Motion to dismiss. This is from the motion. The indictment alleges that the defendants engaged in what they dubbed, quote, information warfare against the United States of America. a systematic effort to show to sow political discord and influence the outcome of the 2016 presidential election. And they charged the defendants with conspiring to defraud the federal agencies responsible for preventing and counteracting improper foreign influence on U.S. elections. April 11th, they voluntarily entered an appearance. Did not expect that. Soon after, counsel confirmed to the court it was authorized to enter a voluntary appearance, and they had a U.S. attorney. They had a United States-based lawyer. The case has been entertaining, says Technofog. Concord attorney Eric Dubelier, I'm going to say, has at times run circles around special counsel and DOJ lawyers, starting with this claim that the DOJ, quote, indicted the proverbial ham sandwich. So the court says, what about Concord Catering, one of the businesses? The government makes an allegation that there's some association. I don't mean for you. Do you represent them or not today? And are we arraigning them as well? And he says, we're not. And the reason for that, Your Honor, is I think we're dealing with the situation of the government having indicted the proverbial ham sandwich. That company didn't exist as a legal entity during this time period alleged by the government. If at some later time they show me that it did exist, we'll probably represent them. But for the purpose of today, no, we don't. In other words, the government indicted a company for things that couldn't have been possible because they didn't exist when they were being charged with the things they supposedly did.
Didn't exist.
His greatest hits in the Concord case, here's some of them. The lawyer for Concord calls special counsel Jeannie Rhea liar. The court says, Mr. Dubelier, you wanted to be heard. And the lawyer says, yes, I did, Your Honor, briefly. First of all, Your Honor, I don't want to start a long slog like this with the court thinking I hung up the phone on the prosecutors. And any suggestion in that regard is absolutely false. It's demonstrably false. What I said to them was that, do you guys have anything else? No. Do you guys have anything else? No. Okay. Goodbye. That's different from hanging up the phone on somebody. And I resent the implication that the special prosecutor has made to the court that I would hang up the phone. I didn't do it. It didn't happen. She knows it. And the two guys sitting at the table know it first. Like, in other words, they were trying to make him look like he was avoiding conversation with them. And they lied. So then their lawyer returns the summons to special counsel Ree because it doesn't comply with the federal rules of summonses. And we get an email. Jeannie, this is Ree. Since your communication to me of the attached summons does not comply with FRCRP4, I'm returning it to you. And he says again, sorry for the multiple emails, but one more quick point. I've never had a prosecutor send me a summons, subpoena, CID, or any other legal document directed to a corporate entity without asking in advance whether or not I'll accept it on their behalf. I find it disturbing that in your first communication, you're already behaving in a manner that's inconsistent with the practices of the Department of Justice. Eric.
Inconsistent. Savage. Pretty much saying you are a fake lawyer.
Yeah.
You're just an imposter.
Then he says, this is a joke, basically. So then he says, sidebar, the Concord case was exceedingly dangerous because the DOJ twisted the law to fit these defendants. They alleged illegal activities that Concord interfered with the FEC's ability to determine whether statutes were violated. That didn't even exist. Here are some, he posts some of the bad memes that were posted by Concord. And he never let up. The real Department of Justice never would have brought this case, said the lawyer for Concord. Mocking Mueller's legal theories partially via Tweety Bird. Quote, give a man enough rope and he'll hang himself. The special counsel just did so. His filings have been absolutely brutal and hysterical because he calls them out on their BS. Like the one where they Ree says, I have 2 terabytes of information from Concord. And the lawyer for Concord goes, what language is it in? And she says, Russian. And he goes, well, did you translate it? And she goes, no. So then you really don't know what's even in there, do you? And she was forced to shut the hell up because they were using the information they had as like a threat. But they didn't even know what was in it.
You see, this is my, I love this. I love this exchange. And this is pretty much my approach for media, too. They are bad actors with a very poor, shoddy, shallow script. And all you have to do is say, screw you.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. Okay. Prove it. prove it. And then it's they become flabbergasted. Like, oh, what are you talking about? I'm from the Department of Justice. Just believe me. No. Nope.
Yeah, and not only that, but that's why I think why General Flynn wants to, back off his plea and go to trial.
God, I really hope that he was targeted because everybody thought that he might actually ruin everybody's careers and disrupt the apple cart to begin with. I hope that after all this, he actually is able to inflict more damage than he had initially wanted to do. I hope that he's actually able to accomplish what he wanted to do and more through this suffering.
Yeah, he should be unleashed in the private sector to do whatever he wants to do. Hold on one second. So the only other thing that I really had today, Frank, was the primaries that did go on yesterday. Donald Trump basically clinched the nomination.
He clinched.
He had more votes than all of, I believe, at the last time I checked, he had more votes than all of the Democrat candidates combined in Florida. And Bernie Sanders didn't win a single county in Florida.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that Florida was like 35,000 votes away from electing Andrew Gillum and Bernie Sanders didn't get one county?
Speaking of Andrew Gillum.
Yeah, I know.
Man, oh man.
Rent. He was part of a party where the gay escorts that they got literally came from a website called rentmen.com. Can you imagine that?
No,
what an amazing URL.
No, Frank. He was there for a wedding, okay?
I know. Well, yeah. There was a welding, perhaps. a wedding. But
A welding.
No. So, but...
But Florida numbers, let's just go over them quickly. This is pretty sad. Here we go. 219 delegates available in Florida. Bernie Sanders got 396,035 votes in Florida. Joe Biden got 1,074,444 votes.
1 million votes in Florida. How many votes were cast for Andrew Gillum?
Let's see. How many votes did Andrew Gillum Florida? My fingers are not typing correctly. He got 4,043,723.
Okay.
And Joe Biden, I'm sorry, and Donald Trump got 1,161,604,000 votes in Florida.
In 2016?
No, now.
Oh, now.
Yeah. In the middle of a coronavirus outbreak where nobody had to vote for him.
I'm hoping for complete electoral destruction of the Democrat Party in November. It is the only thing that can make this year make any sense or be worth the struggle.
Yeah, I don't see how anybody votes for Biden against Trump. Did you see the debate? I mean, Trump is going to wipe the floor.
Yeah, it was a bad, very bad debate. But you know what? It was less funny this time around. I think it was funnier with more people on stage. With just the two of them, I just became more and more frustrated.
It's also more funny when you have an audience.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because you don't hear anything. You just don't hear anything.
They should have put in a laugh track.
You'd think. There is a motion to dismiss filed in the Carter Page lawsuit by obviously the people that are being sued. It's 2 pages long. Hold on. They're submitting a memo of law in support of the motion. They just filed this. So I knew this was coming. I knew it was coming. Here it is. Memorandum in support of motion. I just want to see what their main reasons are for. Oh, it's so many pages long, of course. 39 pages. Figures. This lawsuit marks Page's third bite at the apple in as many years. He filed substantively identical claims in the Southern District of New York in 2018 and in Oklahoma in 2019. Both were dismissed. now joined as plaintiff by companies. Page brings yet the third iteration of the same claims. Yeah, I'll read through this later.
Yeah, one of those things.
Yeah. That's it for today, Frank. You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with...
Quarantined Val and...
Beans! You guys can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and RadioInfluence.com. We will see you on Can you roll your tongue?
Friday.
Thank you.
Yes, later.
This is A Place for My Head Quick Picks on Radio Influence.
This week on the A Place for My Head podcast, we're talking about, well, what everybody's talking about, the coronavirus. But we're coming at it from a little different angle. We're talking about the anxiety and the stress that's coming along with it, not just the scientific, you got to do this, you got to do that. You know, we've all heard that. But we're trying to eliminate some of the stress and some of the anxiety tied around it. So we're coming at it from that angle. Plus, we talk about what Brandon's new adventure is and a whole lot more this week on the A Place for My Head podcast.
A Place for My Head with Brandon Thompson and Jerry P. Tuck can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com. We'll be right back.